My life before Christ. Early in my childhood, my parents were saved, and I was surrounded in a Christian environment. I attended church regularly, memorized catechism questions, and I could answer questions about God and the gospel. All of this did not seem remarkable or important to me. This life was all I knew, and I thought that was how life went, period. I had a form of godliness, but I denied the power thereof. 2 Timothy 3:5. Our parents rightly expected obedience from us, and they diligently disciplined and guided us in the ways of the Lord. Even though I was lost, I looked down on other people that didn't have it all together like I did, because I knew how to behave and obey on the outside. But the truth was, my heart was dirty. As I grew older, I realized there was more to life than the healthy environment I lived in. I didn't know much about the world and all of its corruptions, but what I did see, I began to hunger for. My heart craved independence from my parents, from the Word, and ultimately from God Himself. I rebelled against the shackles, the rules that were placed on me. I liked living on the wild side. Pride was my everything. I thought it was something more than human. I didn't care about anyone but me and my wants. I played dares with death, and it was comfortably exhilarating to me to do something horrid and not get caught. I became a terrible liar and devious. When I was caught, I was never repentive. I was only sorry I was found out. Ironically, my sins were always being found out by my parents and the Lord's mercy, and that made me furious. When my parents corrected me and spoke to me about my sinfulness, I would stiffen my neck. When they said God wanted me to obey and I couldn't do it on my own, I needed God to change my heart, I would boil inside. No one is going to control my life, I said inside. Life is so unfair. Why is there a God to boss me around and give me parents to do it for him too? I was miserable at home. I dreamed for the day I could be a legal adult so I could leave my family. I even planned out a whole scheme to run away and nearly carried it out. But for some reason, when I tried, I couldn't do it. Something held me back. But I let my rebellion leak out in other ways. I daydreamed through sermons and family devotions. I argued and fought with my parents constantly. Every time my parents warned us about not going the way of the wicked, I would mentally scoff and think, "Too bad. I'm going to do it all. You won't be able to stop me." I tormented my siblings. I rejected my femininity. I didn't do anything I thought was the teeniest bit womanly, and I covered myself with a shell of hardness and cruelty, erasing any signs of softness. I wouldn't even let myself cry. My body was literally rigid with anger and bitterness. But God in His mercy still gave me a tender conscience. I was terrified of dying, and hell gave me nightmares. I was too embarrassed to vocally portray my true colors yet, so I kept my good girl face on as best as I knew, secretly unhappy with myself, being trapped in the world of hypocrisy I had built, giving the right answers I was expected to, when all of the time I knew what I really wanted and believed in my heart. How I came to know Christ. I had a really bad relationship with a person in the church we were attending in Kansas, and it disrupted our family. I was humiliated by the mess I had gotten myself into, not to mention all the other things I got in trouble with as well. I was angry that I shamed my parents, and I was embarrassed at the name I made for myself. While I was in misery, one major influence I had was my grandma. She was converted when I was 8 years old. She was so joyful and always talking about the Lord. I began to feel an emptiness inside. I had no hope, and I definitely wasn't joyful. I started doubting if my idol, independence, was really what it seemed to promise to be. My doubts came to a climax when I was riding with my grandma on a cloudy day. All of a sudden, the clouds parted, and the sun with its bright yellow beam shot through the opening and blinded us with its rays. My grandma lifted her hands and she cried, "Oh, I thought the Lord was coming back." My heart nearly stopped beating and I wailed, because I knew that if the Lord came back in that moment, I wasn't ready. I had rejected him. From that point on, I was ashamed of my sin. I became even more terrified of death. God opened my eyes and showed me how selfish I was toward my family, how proud I was, how deceitful I had become. And I, who had always thought that I could take care of myself, was paralyzed. I knew about the gospel because I was taught it since I can remember, but I was too afraid to ask God to save me. I couldn't believe that God would want me to be one of his children. Hadn't I spit in his face and scoffed at his authority? I was miserable. I wanted to be saved from myself so bad I couldn't think about anything else. I sobbed myself to sleep at night, begging God not to forsake me. I had wanted nothing more but independence all of my life, running from God as hard as I could. But now I was frightened at the thought of God leaving me to myself. I wanted so much to belong to him. I spent months moping around, my soul in torment. But one Sunday evening when I was 11, everything changed. I remember sitting in a church service, listening to a sermon that wasn't different from any other sermon I had heard. Actually, to be truthful, I was half listening, too wrapped up in my misery and guilt. Then I heard the pastor say, "If you will come to Christ, he will receive you." And then it was like the Lord said to me, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Matthew 11:28-29. The word struck me in a new way. I suddenly realized that Jesus actually wanted me the way I was. I didn't have to grovel on the floor like a beggar anymore, hoping to get on his good side. All I had to do was come. And the little girl who all her life revolted against shackles and confinement whispered, "I will come to you if you really want me. I don't have anywhere else to go." In that moment, sin's chains fell off my soul. I didn't really know what happened to me, but I knew something changed in my heart because for the first time, I felt truly free. I believe at that moment, Jesus saved me. Christ took all my sins and put them on himself. He saved me from myself. I was now free from God's wrath and condemnation. I was justified. I was grafted into Abraham's seed, part of God's forever family. My life since I came to know Christ. After that day, I didn't know what to do with myself. I felt so joyful and so free, and I actually started caring about others, like obeying my parents and loving my siblings and serving them around the house. I began to enjoy listening to God's word preached and praying and singing to him. I would weep over my faults and confess them to others. I hated my sinfulness. I wanted to be perfect for Jesus and get rid of it all. I didn't want to be naughty anymore and hurt others. I knew inside this peace and zeal that erased my anger and bitterness. I felt strong and secure in the Lord and thought that nothing could stand in my way and that life would be perfect forever. Barely a year after I was saved, the Lord saw fit for my faith to be tested through a tremendously humiliating trial. Still a brand new Christian, I didn't know how to react. I had been taught from the Bible almost my whole life, but I had never had to put what it says in practice for myself. My life was falling apart before me. I was confused and my confidence withered. And then I fell into depression. I was trapped in its suffocating grasp for 2 terrible years. Life was like living in the dark. I blocked everyone out of my life. I lived every moment in spiritual torment, sinking in the lies the devil whispered to me. It was like I didn't know what to believe and who to trust. I was literally going crazy in my head. Instead of casting my cares on Jesus, I began to build walls to protect myself. High, thick walls of mistrust, anger, bitterness, and resentment. I doubted the validity of my salvation, and I believed that God had hid his face from me and was leaving me in my sins. I would beg God almost every day that he would kill me. Every time I read the word, it would torment me because I didn't think any of God's promises were for me. It was torture just living. But of course, God never left me. Listening to Pilgrim's Progress helped me realize that what I was experiencing wasn't anything anyone else hadn't gone through before, and there is hope for me. God began to speak to me. He reminded me, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, and that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ Jesus. God brought me out of this depression painfully slow. After I recovered, I was shaky and leery of love. I felt drained and vulnerable and wasn't really sure how to go on. Ever since then, I have battled with having lasting assurance. But recently, I have come to realize that my security in Christ doesn't come from something I do or how I feel. The word says, I am risen in Christ and dead to sin. And even though I still do sin, I have no condemnation because I am in Christ. My confession of Christ. As I come for membership today, I want to confess that Jesus Christ is my captor, my savior, my older brother, my confidant, my fortress, my king, and my Lord. I can't wait. I can't wait until Jesus comes on his white horse as faithful and true and puts all nations under his feet, as it says in Revelation 19:11-16. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice, he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one but he himself knows. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you.